Resources Subcommittee of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. This is Wednesday, March 23rd, 2005, and we're here today for public hearings on three bills. We have a 2:30 adjournment deadline on this committee today, so if we don't get through all of the agenda items, we'll be carrying them over. The first bill, I'll open a public hearing on House Bill 5073, which is the Water Resources Department. Would the agency please step forward to be available to answer questions from the committee members? Mr. Siebert, do you want to set the stage?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I didn't have a lot of notes in my prioritization list from when the agency first appeared. I believe they appeared early on in phase one. I would point out that on the second page of their list, which is page 24, the first page is 24, second page is 25, you'll see the criteria that the department used in prioritizing their programs. And I will also point out that in this agency, they didn't prioritize the administrative functions like many other agencies, but they just listed them at the top instead of at the bottom of the list.
Okay. When I was going through and doing my ranking on this, the first thing that I did was to notice that there was a constitutional mandate here, and which is the last item on the list.
Yes, Madam Chair, it's true. That is the constitutionally authorized loan program that I think that the director can let you know that no one has availed themselves up of the use of this loan program in a number of years now.
But nonetheless, in the instructions that we received from the co-chairs, constitutional mandates are supposed to rise to the top. And so I would suggest putting this one at the top.
And Madam Chair, maybe the director can let you know if this is necessarily a constitutionally mandated program or it's just constitutionally authorized.
Madam Chair, for the record, Phil Ward with the Water Resources Department. I believe it's a constitutionally established program, and so I'm not certain that I think even if it becomes inactive, it remains, unless it were repealed by a vote of the people, it remains a part of the Constitution. In terms of us having to actively operate a program if there's no request for that type of business, I'm not certain that we would be required to do that if there are not requests actually for loans of this nature. This is a loan program, and the governor's budget, Madam Chairman, actually zeroes out the last bit of general fund that's associated with that program. We're down to about five loans, which these were large-scale loans in years past that helped farms or irrigation districts put in large-scale systems. And we're frankly no longer competitive with the private market for these with the types of loan rates we're able to offer, and so we're down to maintaining just a few loans and are able to do that with the other funds that the program has generated over the years.
Madam Chair, I think I understand your point is that they still would have a loan portfolio, so it doesn't make sense necessarily to eliminate the program because they would have some loans that they would have to manage regardless of what kind of fell out of this process. So it might be worth moving it up the list some just so it's not at the bottom.
The other thing that I wasn't sure about what to do here was because the administrative costs are not ranked in the process, whether we should just go ahead and rank those or, I mean, we have no option but to rank everything is my understanding.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I believe in some of the others that have come before you, they were not ranked, and you just left them as unranked at the bottom. And I can check for verification with the co-chairs if there's an expectation that we would rank those that they had previously allowed to be unranked.
Okay, because in the, for example, the Department of Forestry's budget, the administrative costs are on their list and are ranked. So in terms of consistency, this is kind of a sticking wicket here.
Madam Chair, that's correct. For example, the Dogami list that you did earlier on Monday, they had their administration just lumped at the bottom, and I don't believe we prioritized that.
Well, how about if we then, for this go-round here today, just leave the administrative costs out of it and seek further clarification on the issue. Senator Nelson, you have a comment?
Good.
Okay. Then, just to start off the discussion, when I looked at this, I put, again, public safety at the top of it, which for me just moved up the what is item number 5, the well construction inspection and the dam safety program, higher up on the list. And I actually would, because my number 1 ranking, which is no longer has a need to be number 1, I would move this up to number 1. So I would seek input on that from the committee.
Madam Chair, I have to admit that in this particular budget, I had a hard time looking at this and really understanding what some of these issues were. This is my first cut through the budget. And the only thing I had marked, again, was public safety, because that's always one of my issues in all these budgets. So that's the only thing I can say, and I would agree with what you've done here. I would be careful how we address dam safety. If you say it's that dam safety program, that's one thing. If it's dam safety, that's something else. But I think you meant dam safety.
Where's Senator Shields?
I couldn't leave that alone. I'm sorry. Darn dam safety program.
Okay.
I would agree with you. That I can offer very little else to the committee. I'm sorry.
I'm good.
I had it marked with a little arrow a little bit higher, but then when I went to 7, I had it down. That I felt it could have moved down somewhat, but you know where you're going to go with it. And occur over on 11. I just had a question mark as whether that was proper for it to be there too. That was the only 3 things that I marked on it.
Okay, what was your comment on 11?
That I had a question mark there as to whether or not it was should be 11 or it could be 12 or 13 or lower. I looked at what it was doing, you know, legal coordination, drafting, implementation, and the Oregon plan oversight, and were there things possibly below that might have more value?
Okay. Where I went with this was, with the exception of moving up the public safety piece, I just held with the ranking that the agency had. But do you want to, so what I hear you say is that you'd like to move number 11 down a couple of places?
I'd be willing to move it down 1 or 2, and also number 7 down 1 or 2.
Okay. I would make a case not to move number 7, because this has been a department that's been extremely successful in being able to make themselves more efficient and cut their operating costs by making things available on the net. And it really has, I think, redefined the way that the department works. And my opinion is to make sure that we maintain that as a priority.
If you move number 5 up to number 1, then between there, does everything else drop down 1?
You want to move 5 up?
Oh, that's what you said.
Oh, yeah. Move 5 up to 1.
Yeah, so does everybody else come down 1?
Yeah. Well, I think let's just leave it here because of the fact that we're talking about the constitutionally authorized loan program to leave it at the bottom simply because it's not being used at this point.
You want to discuss that with the co-chairs?
Ah, thank you.
You're on your own.
We needed you a second ago.
All centers.
while.
How much is
it? He's pulling your leg.
Dear Major Mallet Youngman?
Well, wait a second here, because I think Representative Krieger wants to move 11 down. So would you, how about switching 11 and 12?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Does anybody have any objection to that?
No, not at all.
Okay. So what we've got then is program 5 moved up to 1. Then everything in order just renumbered after that, with the exception of 11 and 12 switching order. Okay.
It's good, yeah. How can we let this guy off so easy?
Okay. I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 5073 and open the public hearing on House Bill 5003. Which is the Department of Agriculture. Could the Department please come forward to answer questions that the committee has? Where is this?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, starts on page 13. The Department of Agriculture's list does.
Page 17.
Page 17.
Yeah, I couldn't have it.
Senator, if you would be comfortable just to bring your food up, we'd be very happy to watch you eat.
I know you would. It's no fun.
Madam Chair.
Cindy Bates.
I need probably some help from the department on this, but I'll start by saying there was a bunch of safety issues sort of spread all through the prioritization. I want to make sure that I understood what I thought were safety issues, in fact, were.
Good idea.
There was 5 or 6 different lines, and I just want to know if I'm looking at this right. 16, 17, and 18 struck me as public safety issues as far as shellfish, and we talked about what we're doing with those feeds that goes into animals that might be eaten by humans. 16 has to do with pesticides. 21, is this identification program potentially important for mad cow disease, being able to trace animals in Oregon? I don't know if that actually is the right place I'm looking at here. And then 39, 40, and 41 was pesticide use reporting, all of which, to me, have public safety issues in them. And I just wanted to get some understanding of why they sort of just spread down through and not brought to a higher level. I put them up next to 3, all of those, not just pesticide use reporting, but the rest of them, too, if, in fact, they are directly involved in public safety. So could you just give me a rundown, make sure that I am correct in reading these, understanding them, that I've got it right?
I would be happy to do that. For the record, Lisa Hansen, Assistant Director with the Department of Agriculture. And I'll address these in the order that you mentioned them. Numbers item on line 16 is our pesticide-based pesticide program. That is certification, registration, and investigations. That one has an environmental, natural resource impact, as well as economic development and some safety around use. And so it's like many of the programs within the Department of Agriculture, there are a mix of priorities within it. The shellfish program on line 17 is another program that has a mix of priorities. There's an economic development activity as related to the recreational shellfish license, and then also a food safety impact, as well as complying with FDA requirements to be able to ship shellfish interstate. So it's another one that is a mix, and it's a relatively small program. The feeds program, we believe, is more of a market assurance program, a truth in labeling program, although there is some impact when we talk about preventing the ruminant-to-ruminant feed ban, so those things that would cause BSE. And then I believe you went down
21.
To 21.
Mm-hmm.
The brand program, There is some usage in terms of traceability. This is not part of the National Livestock Identification Program, and this is more of, a market assurance program.
Wait a minute, that may not be a safety issue then.
No, I don't think we would see that.
Okay.
Thank
you. I put this one kind of in an economic development category.
And I started bringing some of those, up too, but my first cut was for safety again.
Yes.
And then the last three.
The last three.
39, 40, and 41.
The Pesticide Analytical Response Center is a multi-agency board. I believe it's 8 agencies that are statutorily responsible for investigating incidents of potential pesticide poisonings related to the environment and human health, and then making certain recommendations and assisting and setting policy around those. Number 40 is the pesticide use reporting system. The system, I think the thing to bear in mind when we talk about this, the information, when it becomes available, would be potentially a year and a half after the use. It's not a real-time information system. The information would be available for research in terms of environmental and public health. And then finally, 41 is an effort to provide education to urban pesticide and fertilizer users regarding how those products are used.
One quick comment on the last three, if I could, Madam Chair.
Sure.
I see these as whether they're immediate or long-term information. I do see them as something that has to do with public safety. I'm also kind of interested in the park program because I've had people come to me, absolutely certain they've been poisoned by a herbicide or a pesticide, and they have not. Okay, and that's also important to know. From my point of view, of people not overreacting or getting treated for things they haven't got, and making sure that we are looking at what is real and not what is imagined or other causes that could cause illness. So all those, to me, are important.
Can I ask a question just to clarify for you on the point that you're raising? Ms. Hansen, can you talk to the committee about what the other programs are within the department and within state government that do the kinds of things that the park program did when it was funded?
Madam Chair, I'd be happy to do that. The Department of Agriculture has responsibility for responding to complaints about pesticide misuse. And so typically if they are environmental misuses or poisonings, we would look at that and have the ability to get to that information almost immediately. And then human health has a responsibility for looking at potential pesticide poisonings relating to worker exposures on the job.
So we already have some programs that are functioning in place in the state right now that deal with these issues.
That's correct, but what the Park Board does is to bring more of the agencies together to look at these in a very holistic approach and to drill down and see if they can find causes or linkages between all of them.
Senator Nelson.
The question I was wondering, do you have to keep track of how many complaints or how many requests you receive every year on this under this plan? Do you have any idea?
Madam Chair, Senator Nelson, I would have to get back to you. I don't have a good idea of numbers there. I'd have to go back and look at some of the park reports. When the park board was functioning, there was an annual report published by the board that would detail the investigations, what they found, the ones that were actual pesticide poisonings versus ones that they could find no linkage.
And that would be good information, I think, to bring into the phase two discussion around this policy option package.
I agree.
Chair, Senator Shields and I actually sat on the OHSU Crowett committee.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to me that they have literally thousands of hits. And I know that last time, the last meeting I went to, they were doing a infield study of pesticide effects on migrant workers. Folks that probably are going to be exposed to more. There's, from my viewpoint, there's maybe another agency out there. I don't know, do you include the OHSU program under your agency programs? Or?
Madam Chair, Senator Nelson, CROAT is one of the 8 members on the park board in terms of one of the agencies that participates.
Okay.
Senator Shields.
I might comment that CROAD is, to the best of my knowledge, interested in even some of this information that pesticide use reporting would provide. I'm not sure whether you would confirm that or could or not, but that was just my perception. Sometimes we're on an advisory board more to learn than to advise, and this is such a scientific body that quite often we don't say a lot. I'd rather keep my mouth shut and have them think that I'm dumb
Senator
and open
Shields,
my mouth.
Senator Shields, we're wondering what the...
CROAT, the Center for Environmental and Occupational Toxology. How's that for a mouthful?
And where does that reside?
At OHSU,
okay.
Up on the hill. They are a brilliant group of scientists that literally bring in hundreds of millions of dollars in grant money. They have some funding that comes through BOLI, right, under the general heading of occupational safety.
Hence the studies on the migrant farmer.
Yep, hence all kinds of workplace safety studies. Right. It's actually some real breakthrough science. And the accompanying technology that comes along with it later in terms of things that we just never thought of to be safe in the workplace. It's been an amazing education for me and for Senator Nelson, I'm sure. Incidentally, since I'm talking, can I continue one quick? There was this letter today, and I just want to share it in the record. This is from the governor's office, dated March 23rd. As you know, the governor's recommended budget contains funding, and this goes to the co-chairs, for the pesticide use reporting system. Getting the program up and running is a priority for the governor. Now is the time to make a commitment to the implementation of the program by the passage of House Bill 2152 and including sufficient funds in the final budget for the Department of Agriculture. The Oregon Department of Agriculture, and this is the second paragraph that I was really wanting to get to, ranked the program as their lowest priority. There were valid reasons for this ranking based upon past history of problems with obtaining the necessary budget for the program, as well as the fact that there is currently only one employee left in the program. Notwithstanding this ranking, the Oregon Department of Agriculture understands and supports the governor's desire to have a fully functional pesticide use reporting system in the 05-07 budget. I wanted to read it because it's kind of an illustration to me that ranking here is not necessarily priority everywhere. So I just wanted to share it with you since it came to our co-chairs today.
I appreciate your comments, Senator, and thank you for bringing that letter forward. If we could continue with the issue of ranking this from the point of view of the subcommittee, I think that would be helpful. Senator Bates, I shared your concern with putting safety issues first. And so with that, I looked at the food safety program, which the department has as the first priority, which I think is reasonably left in that position. I think there are huge public health issues here around the safety of the food that people eat, and that's clearly a high priority item.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, there may be debate about how that's funded, but I don't think there's any debate about the need for the program and maintaining it. I place that as a high priority, and I would concur with that. Absolutely.
And then the second one, which I think is the one that gets to the mad cow disease, if I'm not mistaken, I also saw that as a very high-level priority for public safety and left that one in the second position.
I think also there's other diseases that animals have, tuberculosis, anthrax, and others that I assume you monitor and watch for, too.
And there's a whole bunch of them, and they're really hard to pronounce.
Yes. And spongiform encephalopathy is one of my favorites. I can now say it, but I can't spell it.
And then the third program being the animal industry services and the field veterinarians was, I felt, a very high priority also for public health, and I left it in the third position.
I don't say you could support the first two, that's just supporting the third one in that ranking. I felt that was sort of key to the first two done.
In fact,
second one.
I went down all the way through the first eight items before I got into the major league order.
I just don't think exotic weeds and eradication of those, I mean, pests, they're important. But I'd still put pesticide use control in 16, 17, 18 above that. I think safety of our food supply and what it would do to the industry if that was not maintained is important. I mean, you have a scare. I assume the selfish industry is significant in this state yet for exporting.
Madam Chair, Senator Bates, the shellfish industry is very important to the coastal communities, but it is a smaller industry in terms of size.
But my point being, if there was a scare in that industry because something got out that was harmful, you know, you have a form of problem with E. coli or something of that nature, I think that would really hurt the industry. People wouldn't want to be buying the product anymore. So I not only is it unhealthy for the public, but it hurts the industry. That's why I moved it up as a higher priority.
Well, shellfish food safety for shellfish moved way up on mine too. Ended up putting that as the ninth one.
So do you want to compromise and put them all up there above Christmas trees and call it good?
I'll move the shellfish inspection program up to make it. Is it where you want it to be?
I would put it up above. I mean, to me, the head of these plant above because it's public safety. I put it above insect and pest and the rest. But I put these others up there too. I'd probably eliminate from what I've heard 18.
Let's deal with number 17.
I would move it up below 3.
Below 3?
Between 3 and 4. Because it's from 4 down, unless I'm mistaken, is not directly related to public health.
I'm okay with
public
that.
Safety. Is that?
You put it as 4?
It's an existing program.
Mm-hmm. And I put, do you want to look at each one individually, or do you want to go through your list first? You're the chair.
Let's
go with yours first.
Well, let's deal with the safety issues first. Okay, so the next one is the feed inspection in 18.
16 would be the next
pesticides.
One. Pesticides.
But this is not really, I don't think that this pesticide program, I think that this one fits in more in economic development and just kind of certification.
What I heard, I thought, was it's a combination. There is some safety. This is tightly regulated, from what I heard, which I didn't know about, tightly regulated to the point that many farmers don't do it themselves anymore. They actually bring in outside people to do it. They do it all the time. So there's a safety issue, I thought, for the workers and potentially a safety issue if it's not done properly for people in and around that environment. And getting into the watershed, is that incorrect in your assessment, or is that just...
Madam Chair, Senator Bates, this is one of the programs from the department's perspective that serves several functions because it does regulate the use of pesticides. It has an economic development component from the point of there are special local needs labels that we authorize for certain minor crops that allow them to be viable for production in this state, as well as there's a natural resource environmental protection side of this too. So it's multifaceted.
Madam Chair.
And so as such, I don't see that it needs to be up in the very top of this thing.
Let me ask one last question here. I'm not talking about environmental protection. I'm not talking about product protection. I'm talking about public, individual people. In your mind, is this something that does not have any significant effect or does not have an effect at all on individuals working with it? If we lost this program, would the public have any danger from this?
Madam Chair, Senator Bates, worker protection is a part of OSHA. It's not part of the Oregon Department of Agriculture, but clearly we regulate those uses that are authorized on the label to assure that the products are used properly. And so there would be public risk if the products were not used properly.
Where would you like to hear?
Well, the Senator Nelson.
I just did another spin on this and another viewpoint of it. You might correct me if I'm wrong, but we're now importing 30 to 40% of our foods that we consume in the United States from other countries. So, I mean, we're talking about, we're not consuming all the food And we have, I mean, to me, the pesticide regulation is actually goes more to maybe an international situation because we're eating a huge amount of our food. We don't know what kind of chemicals those people are putting on. I mean, if you're looking at a public safety issue, I think we have a greater public safety issue on the importation of food. So, I mean, that's just another spin on it. We're not all of us eating 100% of Oregon food. So.
Well, some of us are, though.
We go organic and local, okay?
Weren't most of these applicators, aren't they all licensed?
Madam Chair, Representative Krieger, it depends on the category of pesticide. If it's a general use pesticide, which you can buy at Home Depot, those pesticides don't have to be used by licensed applicators. If it's a restricted use, which are the more toxic pesticides, licensed applicators are the only ones that can purchase those.
And where I grouped this one, Senator Bates, was in a group that I called just regulatory issues. This one I put in with the people that inspect the quality of fertilizer for contaminants and things like that, the people that certify weights and measures, the work that the commodity commissions do, the smoke management. I kind of grouped all those programs together. I don't see the wisdom of putting this in with the public safety part of the thing.
Well, I think that from my point of view, I will just, with all due respect, disagree, but you put it where you think it goes, and I'll make a vote against it. I just think the program they run is excellent. I never heard about it until I got to this committee, and it was reassuring to hear that you had restricted pesticides. You watch carefully. You have a good program for it, and from a point of view of someone out there that doesn't know a lot about it, I'm glad you're doing that. That makes it very important to me. There are organophosphate pesticides, I assume, are in this group. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Senator Bates, that is correct.
And those babies are deadly. They can kill. Correct?
That is correct.
So I'm glad you've got a good program. I think there was a public safety factor involved, and as long as those kind of pesticides are out there, I want you guys to be watching it very carefully for us, and I appreciate what you're doing. I'll just leave it there. Whatever you'd like to leave it.
Senator Shields.
To save time, I'll just say that I agree with Senator Bates, and I guess I'll be disagreeable with Senator Bates.
I'm glad you two are sticking together. Okay.
Politics means strange.
The let's see here. So what we've got is down to, is there general agreement that the first six, where are we here? No, with the
3, 4.
Okay, that we would move down and put the first eight programs in order, and we would take program 17 and insert it between program 3 and 4. That's pretty much the gist of the conversation that we got into.
To this point, but yeah. I still have issues with other line items.
Right. Okay, then going to page 2. The next part, the next chunk of them that I got into were the ones that related to economic development. And the ones that I put in that category were 9, 10, 14, 18,
whoa.
9, 10, 14, 18, 20, 21, 23, 24, 28, 29, and 31.
31,
did you
say? Yes. Madam Chair, I'm going to lean on your knowledge of this, of these programs, because the way
we have some far knowledge, more knowledge.
Yeah, but I'm still going to lean on some of your knowledge. You've looked at these budgets for years, and Representative Krieger has too, and I did make sort of the same cuts you did, public safety and economic development. And when I looked through this list and went over my notes, I had a hard time deciphering which was the most important programs from the point of view of economic development to our state. And so I'm going to lean on your knowledge. and I will accept your recommendations. I would like to discuss 28 and 29, but the rest of them I would agree with.
Okay, what is your discussion on 28 and 29?
28, again, this is going to go back to public safety, and I'd wanted to ask the agency if they see anything in this that has any significance, as far as public safety is concerned. You do testing for food safety and pesticide enforcement. Is that of real significance? It's a pretty good-sized budget for your department, $1.6 million. How important is that to the rest of your programs that we've talked about as far as public safety is concerned?
Madam Chair, Senator Bates, the regulatory lab is a core part of several of our programs. It's a core part of our food safety program when we talk about it, because it does all of the testing for the food safety program, as well as all of our analytical work around pesticide investigations. We put our core services sort of middle of the list with the regulatory lab and our administration of the agency mid-pack, because they support the direct work that's done on the ground by many of the programs that are above it.
Madam Chair, follow-up question?
Okay, go ahead, because I got one too.
Yeah, having heard that, because I was kind of thinking along those lines, and this may be something you just can't do, can you break that category down and insert that back in the category that supports, for instance, the testing that happens for our number one priority, food safety? Some of the monies from this supports number one. Is that correct?
Madam Chair,
I'm missing the point.
Maybe I can try to get that at a different, go at that at a different way, because that was the question that I had. Given that this is a program that the lab is pivotal to the functioning of a lot of programs, why did you rank it so low?
Madam Chair, we looked at the agency's, what we consider the core services, the administration of the agency, the accounting functions, and the laboratory analytical work. And we put them mid-pack versus the on-the-ground work that affects the public all of the time. And there were alternative ways. We also took into account alternative ways of getting the work done. And that's how we worked through that.
So you could do number one. We're not doing this, okay? Just for sake of argument, for my understanding, if you were forced to close down 28, you could still do number one. You have alternative ways of getting the job done.
Madam Chair, Senator Bates, that's correct. There would still be cost involved. Number one is where we receive the revenue to support part of the regulatory lab, but we could use that revenue and find another source to do our analytical work if we had to do that.
On that basis, I don't have any question about 28.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I think that's a good... I think that we need to recognize the importance of this, though, as we go into the Phase 2 discussions.
Yeah, 28 may be a little more important than it's ranked, but at least I have an understanding of why I did that. 29 is more a question of this. Predator control is also in different budget, fish and game. I assume you work together to combine these programs. For some reason, you have a piece, they have a piece. It's not in one piece.
I think that...
For the record, Mr. Craig.
For the record, I'm Chuck Craig, Deputy Director for Department of Agriculture. I think that historically the emphasis of our program has been on direct impact of predators on farmers and ranchers, and Department of Fish and Wildlife has a program that more focuses on management of wildlife to reduce those the potential of damage from all sorts of wildlife, not just the kinds of direct predators like coyotes that the program is mostly concerned with from our standpoint.
Representative Krieger has comments.
Yeah, Madam Chair. I had Roy Elliker up on my property and also Jim Myron regarding the bear damage problem you've heard me speak of before. $450,000 worth of loss on my property. Only 300 acres. They verified it. They were there. That is not unique.
So if you want to talk about economic development within the forest products industry, I don't know how many tens of thousands of dollars were spent by industry hiring their own people to control this on top of it. A lot of the small woodland owners can't. That's why I've mentioned to you about an economic study somewhere in one of these budgets to try to look at what it's costing. I believe the figure was 11 or 12 million was a very conservative figure that I was told from USDA, but they didn't take into consideration Southern Coos or Curry were the largest amount. I would suggest to you that it could probably push $50 million annually that we're losing in that industry to bear damage. So if you want to talk about something that's economic development, that's where it is. I moved it from there up to 25, where 25 is, and I lowered 25. On the other page, the Commodity Commission's oversight.
Okay, so you moved it up. Okay,
yes,
I moved it from 29 to 19.
That's even better.
That's too far.
There's going to be much up there.
Well, I think that this is clearly an economic development issue.
I agree.
And a major issue that we've got to try to figure out a path here to between people's ability to make a living and protecting the species. And that's
sure.
One of the big
I agree. I hear it clearly.
Probably a chauffeur wants to throw in the seals that are eating salmon.
Oh.
If the sea lions are bothering me, then it's okay. We'll stir it up good.
Where do you want to take it to?
Well, is there any severe heartburn with grouping these economic programs together and putting them under the ones that we've already ranked?
I think it's very reasonable from my point of view.
Okay, let's go ahead then.
Madam Chair, maybe I can just go through them really quick to make sure I've got the numbering right. Number 9 would become number 10. Number 10 would become number 11. Number 14 would become number 12. Number 18 would become number 13. Number 20 would become number 14. Number 21 would become number 15. Number 23 would become number 16. And 24 would become 17. And then number 28 would become number 18. 29 would become 19. And 31 would become 20.
Right.
31 becomes 20?
Yes. Okay, then the next one was I did federal requirements, and the ones there that I think are clear federal requirements are 21 and 22, which is the... that's not right. 11 and 12. Excuse me. I ended up in this box several times last night. Which would be the 10-10 plans, the agriculture water quality plans, which are under the Clean Water Act, and CAFO, which is also under the Clean Water Act. So, and those ones I ranked 21 and 22. Okay, and then I just did a whole mess of them, which I just called regulatory compliance kinds of things. And I did 13, 15, 16, 19, 22, 25, 26, 27, and 30.
Whatever you say. I want to look at it later, but I think it's probably okay. I don't have a big heart. To borrow your phrase, I don't have major heartburn.
Compliance.
Over this.
Okay.
Compliance.
Right.
Okay.
Not federal compliance, just compliance.
Any mercy?
Is there any heartburn with that? I will check.
I would hope at some time we're going to get a sheet from you that shows all this in case I've mistranscribed.
Oh, would I be a good chair if I gave everybody the grand scheme of things?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, maybe I'll go through and verify I've got these correct. Number 13 will become number 23. Number 15 will become number 24. Number 16 will become number 25. Number 19 will become number 26. Number 22 will become number 27. 25 will become number 28.
Yeah.
26 will become 29, 27 will become 30, and 30 would be 31.
Okay, then the next place I went was county fairs, because I couldn't figure out where else to put it.
Just leave it there.
Well, it actually is. It's 32 and it stays 32.
Hey, you know, okay. Hey, you did something right.
Madam Chair, do you have any other changes you want to make?
Well, and then what I got into was pops at the end. Oh, do you have to head out somewhere?
I'm going to have to leave, I think, in a moment.
Okay, well, go ahead and give some input then.
37 seemed very strange to me. This is Homeland Security for Food. It's the Rosh Hashanahs or something, I don't know.
Right, and my understanding is that everything from 33 is plant biology. From 34 down, I mean, 34 and 35 are not funded. There's no money in them.
37 is.
And
36 is where the jobs
is. Yeah. And from 36 forward are the policy option packages in the budget that are all new programs that in this current biennium are not functioning. So I left them at the bottom.
Okay. The only reason I'm bringing it up is that, again, this is a Homeland Security issue, public safety. It's other funds, must be federal funds flowing through public health, I'm guessing. From your department. What?
Are you talking about Homeland Security?
Number
37. Number 37,
yeah. Madam
Chair, it's very strange. What is this?
It is Homeland Security money that is coming to ODA through health services, and this individual is working it. We have a limited duration position
person,
right now. One person that's helping us with the coordination and putting all of our emergency plans in place.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this was a grant, I believe it was approved during the interim, and so this package would continue the position through into the next biennium.
We're trying to prioritize things here on the issues we've talked about, safety, economic development, 1, 2, 3, 4. Maybe this is right. I'm not ready to fall on my sword, and this is a very small thing. I just thought I'd point it out, but it seemed kind of strange where it was, and I'm not sure why you placed it there. And if you feel comfortable, I'm not going to have it, you know, as to borrow the chair's position heartburn about it. But it was just interesting it was there. And then the last three, again, we've gone back to, we've agreed to disagree on this. Where are we on 39, 40, and 41?
I think we're going to agree to disagree.
Yeah.
Okay. I still feel that should be up around 7, where 17 has been placed.
Well,
I'll make that very clear.
To concur with Senator Bates, I also think they should be up there. I probably would, whether he did or not.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
39, 40, and 41, I think, should be way higher than they are.
I think where we place 17 is where they should be.
And respectfully, I disagree. I think that these are policy option packages that are new programs, that are programs that haven't been funded for some time, and that given the economic climate that we're in, adding money back into these areas when there already are other programs in place that serve these functions substantially isn't a good thing to do right now. I think that we'd be far better off to use this general fund money to underwrite the cost of the food safety program that's going to require an infusion of general fund to keep it floating. And I think that we would also be well served to use these general fund dollars in education and human services and public safety.
I would also make the point that the food safety program was extremely important, can be funded by other funds, by fees.
There is a very hefty fee component.
I understand that. I'm just making a point that should be part of the discussion. We're going to agree to disagree here. Okay, thank you. I also point out that just because a program is new does not mean it automatically is excluded, and just because a program is old does not mean it's automatically included.
That's
we should be looking at all these on a priority basis of what we think is most important for the state, and I think we'll probably have some disagreements in this committee, and that's what it's all about.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you want to talk about new programs, come into judiciary and look at the 40 meth bills and approximately $50 million or more that we might need to protect our families and our children and our schools and way of life. If I'm going to put $1 million in, I'm not going to put it there. I'm going to put it where families are. We know that the devastation that's taking place already. We went through that over in Senator Nelson's area the other day. We're all going to have to pull together on that one.
Senator Shields?
Bluntly, I probably dealt more with math at a personal level than anybody on the committee, and I don't want to go into detail. I will support meth bills and the general fund that it takes to get there. That doesn't mean that I don't also support the bills that we've just been talking about on pesticide use. This is going to be a subject of negotiation in the new reality that's part of this legislative process.
And I think we all understand that.
I think we all do. I think as long as we stay respectful of each other, we can work something out. It'll be mutually effective for the entire state. And it doesn't mean that we have to exclude one over the other. DHS has got serious problems. Meth's a huge problem. We have disagreements over K-12 and lots of other issues here. This is one. But that's one I think we can work out together as Oregonians.
I think that's why the people sent us here, Senator.
Thank you.
And with that, if there are no further discussions, I think that we have concluded the discussions about House Bill 5003, and I'll close the public hearing on that bill and open a public hearing on House Bill 5030, which is the Department of Forestry budget. Thank you very much, Mr. Craig and Ms. Hansen, for your time. We appreciate that. And we'll bring the Department of Forestry forward to work with us on their prioritization, which starts on page 18 of the
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, you have the priorities of the department. I'll refer you to the last page of their priority list to look at the criteria that the agency used. They had 11 items that they used in prioritizing their programs using forest fire protection, forest health, education, and forestry seed development practices.
Senator Shields.
Yeah, on the Department of Forestry, I'm not complaining really or not, but I'm going to need a lot more help understanding this one and the other one, and it's not just that the type got about half the size as all the rest of them, but that they seem to be using shorthand and acronyms that I just didn't understand.
I have questions also, Senator, so I will join you in asking.
All the rest of them had at least half sentences, and these seem to have quarter sentences, and I just didn't understand.
Wasn't there a dollar penalty per acronym used?
Boy, they are in trouble if that's true.
We put in the food bank, and we eat well, but we went to the food bank. Madam Chair, that's the same thing. There are 92 here.
I was commenting to the department that with a 92-item list of programs here, they've actually outstripped the Department of Human Services for the size of their offering.
We only had 77.
Not ODOT. ODOT has more?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Given that you guys agree with me, I'm glad to know I wasn't barking up the wrong tree.
You're right.
Okay.
Madam Chair,
now,
as we start through this priority list, with your indulgence, I'd like to take one thing off the agenda for discussion today, and that's how these programs are funded. We'd like to look at this, if we could, just as a priority, what's most important, least important.
Well, and that's really what we've been doing all the way through.
And so we understand that right at the beginning. I'd appreciate that.
Okay.
Susie was very good at walking through this about three times. I still haven't got it completely. I'm sorry, okay?
It's okay.
It's just a very complex
way of how you
go about the funding for forest fires, how it might be changing, might not be changing, is changing. So I just don't want to go there right today if we could. My confusion is high enough without doing that if you'd indulge me. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree that okay. We should just ignore the funding source in this whole
Thank
discussion.
Thank you.
I spent some time, first of all, going through the constitutional federal statutory debt service, and there are a couple of items of debt service in here, which are 59 and 60 on their list. And that's on page 22.
You have an eagle eye, Madam Chair.
Oh, it's amazing what you can see when you look down that column. So there, and so you got a $2 million item of debt service, and a in general fund, and a $1.24 million item of debt service in other funds. And so I moved those up to the top, just bearing in mind the co-chair's instructions that debt service should be at the top of the list.
So you make them one and two?
Yeah.
Hey, paying our debt.
Is there something?
Radical concept. It's funny the feds don't do that. Yeah. They print more money.
Yeah, they can, well, they can print it. We can't. Give us a chance, we would.
Oh, no, and also, we do not have the magical deficit
funds
federal partners have.
I wonder what an Oregon dollar would look like if it had a beaver on it or what.
A duck.
Okay. And then I went from there.
The duck flies, not the eagle.
Yeah, right.
Into the fire protection stuff as the top priority. And again, I'll tell you guys, 3 hours it took me to work my way through this list.
They're not going to tell you how many hours they spent.
After an hour, I basically gave up, so you're ahead of me.
Madam Chair, could I interrupt? It might help the committee's work a little bit. I would, in the list of 11 prioritized services that Ms. Jordan called her attention to on the third page, if you recall, and I know it's been a while now, but in our phase one presentation and hearing with you, you might recall that that basically is what we consider to be the 11 prioritized services of the agency.
And you know that this may be a good time to go over that, the prioritized agency services. The
page 23?
Yeah, but what's that, the very end?
Yeah, I find that more helpful in the whole list.
And well, what I did there was I agreed with the fire protection at the local level and the fire protection at the emergency and catastrophic level being right up there on the top below the debt service. The forest health management for the forest health and management of forest insects and diseases I thought was very important because it has actually got a contributing level to the fire issues. But after that, then I did put number four. I kept number four there where it is. But number seven, the management of the state-owned forest resources, I then moved up and put after number four. And I also moved up the forest practices regulatory actions in enforcement and put that underneath of the management of the state-owned forest resources. I think. I can't really tell what I did here. I did so many.
That means it's in sixth place.
Mm-hmm. Which one did you move up?
What was or if you moved from either one to five, and this is six.
Mm-hmm. Seven and nine.
Oh.
I really got to appreciate you. That sucks.
I assume this list represents this list.
I tried to get this to lump this.
Is everything under one? forest fire protection local district level. That seemed to be the first.
Let's get
first nine.
The chief forester to weigh in on that question.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'm Marvin Brown, Director of the Department of Forestry, and I believe these 11 categories, the 92 categories, roll into the 11 categories specifically.
On a linear basis?
Yes.
So somewhere number one cuts off, number two begins, number three begins, right on down through.
If you would picture item number one on the last page, forest fire protection at the local district level, underneath that are a number of activities. And those activities don't necessarily all line up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on the large list. They are blended then with other program areas. So in other words, we've got 92 activities. Those all roll into the 11 groups that we've got here. But those 92 activities are blended in the large list. They don't necessarily break out as items 1 through 6 or all from the large group one.
Madam Chair.
You're saying they're not in priority order.
On the big list. It doesn't necessarily follow the 1 through 11.
There may be, and I'm just using an example because I don't know specifically, but there may be an activity from the large group two that ranks higher than an activity from the large group one. That, you know, as an example, what I'm saying when the 92 activities are blended together. It's Clark's.
But for example, if we were as a committee to say the first priority is firefighting and not differentiate a whole lot between the local district level and the emergency and catastrophic level, would we be able to assume that all of the fire suppression activities were clumped together here? I mean, I think they are. I think that they're, when you get down to item 15, you're pretty much out of it.
Madam Chair, basically they are until you get into some of the support functions that would support, say, the fire program. And then those are at the bottom of the list.
Okay.
Would it be safe to say if you had to describe your priorities of the mission of your department, these 11 would sum it up? Madam Chair, if I could, again, Clark Seeley, the Associate State Forester for the Department. What Marvin's just described is the interaction of the list of 11 with the list of 90. If you look at the list of 11 in very broad terms, with protection of the forest, and then management of the forest, and then support to landowners as kind of that priority, that's what you see in both the list of 11 as well as the full list. And in a real broad sense, frankly, the fire protection is at the top of both lists, and operation of the forest nursery is at the bottom of both lists in a priority way. And the management of forests, either state or private, is in between. So there is connection, as Marvin just said. And for the most part, the two lists do follow down through.
Okay, but if we're looking at having to reprioritize this, if we take the program numbers 1 through 15 and just maintain them in the order that they are, what else would we need to put in there to have everything that has to do with fire protection? Is that it, or is there more stuff?
Madam Chair, actually, the fire protection specifically cuts off at item number 9.
Madam Chair, if I may speak, she and I agree, insect and disease surveys and dealing with insects and disease directly relate to the forest fires danger you have, and then I looked down at 56 where it's pest management, and I looked down at 84 was air ops. Do those relate in any way to fighting forest fires or being able to get rid of the pests in the forest, which then lead again back into forest fires? I just have a hard time. I mean, air ops directly related to fighting forest fires?
Madam Chair and Senator Bates, no, they don't.
Is that a surveying or something?
No, yes, exactly. This is the operation of our department aircraft. Two aircraft that we own and operate as an agency, and those are not used in fire suppression.
What are they used for?
They're primarily used for insect and disease survey work and the overall movement of of people around the state.
I just have a hard, I mean, new budget, new guy. You're trying, you know, insect disease, bear disease. I mean, the trees that have been killed in his property, the bears have got to be open to forest fires.
They,
right?
Madam Chair and Senator Bates, they are. They're number 10 and 11. Those are the two primary insect.
Right. Understand. But I see other pieces that fit into that. I'm not sure how you separate them out, but this is whether you're a splitter or a lumper, but it seemed to me they should have been up in there.
Okay, well, let me just ask then, the way that the department has the priorities of the programs down to their priority number 15, does anybody want to re-rank any of that? Let's just whack that off and call it good then.
It's about 80 to go.
What do you think?
Your math isn't good.
Thereabouts.
Okay, then I went into the air support stuff, 84, 83, and 82.
Okay. I'm with you.
Figuring that you couldn't do the insect management stuff without that, that it would be a huge disadvantage.
We never talked about this ahead of time, okay? We didn't. Okay, I jumped right there, too.
Yeah.
I don't understand the separation.
So help us understand why you put the airplane so far down on the list.
Well, Madam Chair, we could contract that work if we didn't have our own airplane.
But you couldn't do it if you didn't have the money to do it.
Where's the airplane?
Madam Chair, the survey work, the annual aerial laser insect disease survey work, the cost is included back up on
the last page.
Item number 1. The cost is shown back on item number 83 is the basic operation of the aircraft for other than survey work. So the specialized use of the aircraft for insect disease surveying is costed.
Does that make sense to you, Senator Bates?
So you separated out other uses of the plane.
Okay, so I'm going to take those three things out and move them down into what I've got, where I've got the administrative stuff. This is going to get really complicated.
No, we don't always disagree. Sometimes
we don't. We should just rejoice in the times we do.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, if I could, I just may get myself in more trouble talking about this, but just to give you some example of why it breaks out this way, like I said, we could contract for the air function that it relates to insect and disease that we use with our own airplanes. That wouldn't occupy the full time on the airplane. The rest of the time on the airplane, some of those costs are absorbed by we charter out to other agencies and things like that. We kind of just make up the time and cover the rest of the cost by doing other things. But we could, the cost that we charge against the airplane for doing insect and disease work is in the insect and disease budget. Then in terms of priorities, we could do without the airplane. But it's cheaper to do it this way and build the costs in, you know, because our rates are cheaper than what we would contract to have them done. But, I mean, if you were looking at the overall priorities, that's what's left of operating the airplane that we charge against other things. And we, you know, that's another way of doing business.
Right. Madam Chair,
Representative Shoffman,
I'm sorry.
$65 the finance section, that's a lot of money. What are we financing there? We were talking about debt earlier.
Madam Chair, Representative Schaffler, that's our entire business services section within the agency that does all of the finance and accounting work, receivables, payables. It's the business function of finance for the agency.
So is the bulk of this payroll?
Madam Chair, no. The bulk of the staff that's identified and shown in that particular item, in item 65, are fiscal services accountants. We have a staff of 12 accountants and accounting technicians for both receivables and payables, and it's primarily that group of people. We have two staff for the payroll function, just to give you an idea of what there is in that.
What would happen if we took $500,000 out of the general fund?
Well, we would eliminate staff, and it would be difficult for us, I think, at that point to comply with the statutory requirement of bill paying, 45-day bill paying, and we definitely push our receivable process way off into the future.
I'm just asking questions, Madam Chair. I don't want to freak anybody out.
So is part of this the cost of the new business system?
Madam Chair, no. That concept as a policy package was not included in the governor's recommended budget, so it is not in here.
Okay. So this is just existing services. Senator Bates, you had a question.
One of the ways it gives me a feeling about how this air ops thing is working for you is that we used to have a motor pool in the state where state agencies wouldn't use the motor pool because they could get rental cars cheaper than from the motor pool. What I thought I heard you say is other parts of the state agencies are using this plane from you because the price is better than what they get in the commercial market. Is that the case?
Yes. Sure.
From my point of view, that would justify you having a couple planes with the job done because you've got things you've got to do by air in your department, and it allows other agencies to use those planes when appropriate, hopefully. But at a cost that's obviously competitive, you can do it cheaper yourself than by sending it out.
Okay. I have a question around line 87, capital improvement projects for fire. What is that?
Madam Chair, that whole series of items, the last set of items in the list, are capital improvement. That's the budget category that deals with any improvement to permanent capital facilities. It could be a building, it could be a site, property, that kind of thing. That's in the range of $50,000 up to, I believe, $300,000, if I'm not mistaken. Above that amount is capital construction, so you're into a different budget category.
Okay.
So this is improvement of existing facilities primarily, and we've simply listed what is planned to be achieved and done in the 05-07 budget for each of those programs. In the case of fire, it would be things like re-roofing a fire shed or equipment shed. It might be fencing the perimeter of a compound, those kinds of projects.
Okay. So I'm bumping that one down into the administrative category, too, then.
This is maintenance of your buildings, right?
It is at a capital level, at a capital improvement level.
Okay.
What, Madam Chair? Yeah. What's the value of your buildings?
Oh, gosh.
I got buildings all over.
Madam Chair, Senator Bates, I'd have to get back to you on the number. We operate or have about 400 buildings, ranging all the way from a pump house to a major office building. Total value, I'm gonna guess, but we can get back to you with the number, $20 million in current value. I don't know, that's low. I'm sorry, $40 million in current value, but we can get to you.
So this would be about 10%. Okay.
Okay. The next one I went into was the. Where are we here? Forest practices, prevention, and education for landowners and operators. I think I was kind of overly worked when I got this thing done. I can't really figure out what I did. What I've ranked here in this one is 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, and 22. I clumped those together. Am I in the ballpark?
Madam Chair, yes. Again, I would probably go back up the list a little bit, all the way back up to item number 12. So 12 through 22, but, those items that start with number 12 really are focused on the private landowner and providing assistance to vital landowners for prevention.
Okay, so essentially, again, we're just continuing on with the way that the agency has ranked these. Does anybody have a problem with going down to number 22?
No.
The way that the agency has them ranked?
Right.
Okay. And then I got into the economic development stuff, the private land incentive pieces. And for those ones, I clumped together 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 33, and 35. Do I just say okay?
I guess. How big is the AR reforestation tax credit? How much money is involved in that? How big is the, Madam Chair, excuse me, I should.
Yep.
And you have administration of reforestation tax credit. You spend about $200,000 administering that. How big is the tax credit?
Madam Chair, Senator Bates, the credit, the actual credit for the taxpayer, for the landowner taxpayer, is up to 50% of the eligible cost of reforestation.
What is the whole, what's the number?
Madam Chair, Representative Bates, I don't know the answer today off the top of my head. We can find that out from the Department of Revenue.
Senator
Schultz,
did you have a question?
Just on average, what's its annual budget or biennial budget is my question.
And we could have that information for the stage two discussion. Okay. Does anybody have any heartburn with just clumping that stuff together and moving on?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Could I offer one part on that? Item 42.
42?
Yes. Which is an incentive program to reforest.
Oh, I had questions on that one. What is that?
That's a fairly obscure program to reforest lands that are unproductive. There's a private trust established to provide cost share to landowners to do that.
Okay, so it's again an incentive program.
Yes.
So that should probably be put in there too.
There's some questions about that.
Mm-hmm. Are you funding this all economic development, or what are you doing? Madam Chair,
I'm sorry.
What is the category again?
Put that one in the economic development category.
Okay, so it's all part of that other. Okay.
Madam Chair, for phase two question, this is ringing a very distant bell in my mind from two sessions ago. This is a program that, as I vaguely remember, is not very often used and has not been as successful as we'd hoped. It's lands that.
This is the Phil Kiesling thing, isn't it?
It was lands that could be back in forest production, difficult to get them back in, but are now not being used for either.
Right.
And we haven't got people to buy into that. I think the landowners.
That was down in your neck of the woods.
No, it was there and on the coast somewhere, too. There were two places we're looking at. This is kind of vaguely remembering. How about giving us some detail about that in part two? Okay.
Okay, the one I didn't know what to do with was 34. What is this one?
Madam Chair, I think 34 is basically the personal time that we use interacting with the governor's office on issues like federal land issues and things like that.
So you actually have a line item for how much you're going to interact over the biennium with the governor's office?
Well, it's... And Clark may want to provide the history on that a little more.
We can fix that for you.
Madam Chair, where's the legislative interaction? Yeah.
It was way smaller, I noticed.
We're not worth a line item.
We don't measure up.
Please forgive us.
We're tired.
We got a long night ahead of us.
Tired is the least of our problems.
Running is more like it.
I had the same question, and Clark gave me an answer this morning, so I'll let him
give that to you.
Mr. Stevens. Madam Chair, when we were asked by legislative fiscal office to prepare our information for you in this format, in an activity-based format. What we did was went back to our cost accounting system and looked at the last full biennium, 2001-2003, and determined what our costs were across the agency by program for all of our activities. And that's basically what this list represents, is the activity cost centers for all the work that we do by program. Beginning in the mid-1990s, under the Governor Kitzhaber's administration, we began tracking the costs of doing work from the agency in response to requests from the governor's office. And in those days, it was primarily salmon plan work. And we wanted to know, and the governor's office wanted to know, how much money was being spent over time on development of the Oregon plan. That continued on through the 2001-03 biennium, and because we used that biennium to develop these cost center and activity-based proportions, that item then shows up in this list. Now, with the current administration, we're not tracking those dollars in the same way. This basically is now part of just our normal ongoing Oregon plan work for the agency. It happened to show up in our list, in our cost center list this way, but the activities that are actually shown there would be things that we're doing as part of the Oregon plan today, just as normal business of the agency in the private community forest program.
So this is not related to a position or a particular person?
That's correct. This is actually reflects about a 1.5 FTE of time spent over a biennium, probably across a dozen different positions in both forest practices and in our resource planning program in that kind of activity.
Now, with chairs and reason, they can't just move that back into administrative costs somewhere? For some reason, I split this out.
Actually, Madam Chair and Senator Bates, we proposed to make that adjustment in kind of the next version of the report with Ms. Jordan.
Thank you. Actually, I'd rather you not put it in administrative line. I'd rather have it stick out like that. And you can go right down the line and look at executive administrative staff, public affairs, which, I, to your credit, you've tagged that as one of the 10% reduction if you had to. And my question is, you know, you talk about tracking. This, you know, you start adding these lines up, and it's a lot of money. How do you track this? How do I know that's being? I'm not making any allegations here, but how do we know this is where this money's going?
Madam Chair, Representative Schaffler, our cost accounting system within the agency has, for all of our programs, whether it's fire or state forest or whatever, these activity codes that are used. And whenever people work their payroll time report or whether they pay a bill to a vendor, we attach a activity code of this kind to that, as well as what the thing is. So if we're buying a pad of paper, then it's an office supply, and it gets coded to detection for the fire program. And so it's a matrix that is built that way so that we can track our costs by activity.
So would it be a reasonable thing to take this line item and put it in with the administrative cost chunk of things?
Madam Chair, I think it probably more appropriately fits within the private and community forest program work, because most of the work that was identified in those years and work that is now still done today by those same people is related to Oregon plan implementation, the Oregon plan for salmon and watershed. So I think it probably fits within the private community forest work more than agency administration.
Okay.
And we can identify where, in which activity that's currently identified, where that really ought to rest. And we should do that for you.
Does anybody have that? So this, where you would reasonably chunk this then, would be in the private land, not the economic development piece, but the practices and prevention piece?
Madam Chair, I think that's correct. In item number 4 of the list of 11, forest practices, prevention, education for landowners and operators, most of what we consider to be the Oregon plan-related work today falls within that category.
Does anybody have objection to including that in with what is would be that would significantly raise it up, though, because that's like 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. How about if we just keep it where it is and put it, we've got 33 and 35 that we've already agreed to continue ranking. Just put this one in as 34. Okay.
Nobody's arguing. We're going to get tired.
We have come up against the time. The Representative Krieger and I have a thing that we need to do. But what I'll do here is just make note that we will carry over the discussion of this budget, and we'll take it up first thing when we convene again tomorrow. And I'll close the hearing on House Bill 5030, and we'll reopen it again tomorrow. And having run out of time, I will adjourn this meeting.